have seen the Lord. I have seen the Lord. This is the testimony that we receive this morning from a woman named Mary, a disciple of Jesus Christ. And as we heard in our gospel reading, Mary, who came to the tomb mourning and broken, still trying to process this cruel, gruesome death of her Lord at the hands of the state and how that would come to bear on her life. She arrives at the tomb stumbling a little bit because it's dark, and she notices something is not quite right. The large stone that covered the entrance to the tomb has been removed. Now imagine going to visit the gravesite of someone you love, and when you arrive, there's a huge mound of dirt on the side of the gravesite, and the coffin is open, and there's no body in it. She makes a very reasonable conclusion. Someone must have taken his body. And she took off running to tell somebody about this very strange and odd situation. And when Jesus' other disciples hear this news from Mary, they run to the tomb. And the unnamed disciple, he makes it there first, and he notices that there's no body, but that the linen wrappings that were used to cover the body are there in the tomb. And then Peter, another disciple, arrives, and he also sees these linen wrappings. Now the strangeness of this event is compounded. Not only is the body missing, but the clothes used to wrap the body in are still there. You and I, Barry, are dead in their best dress or best suit. But in that day, bodies were wrapped in linen cloth. So imagine you show up at the gravesite, and not only is there a large mound of dirt on the side of the tomb, and not only is the coffin open, but the clothes in which you buried your dead are still there. What kind of sick person steals a body and removes the clothes? The disciples are frantic. What could have happened here? What a bizarre situation to stumble upon. And I want us to note here that nobody arrives at the tomb that day and says, "You know what? I bet he rose from the dead." Nobody says, "Definitely a resurrection, what a no-brainer, fist bump." Nobody says that. No one thought that happened. And sometimes these accounts of the resurrection are read as if the people in them and the people that believe in them have a worldview that's gullible or prone to silly stories. But nobody in that day thought the dead could rise any more than we do. Nobody had an imagination for this. Even the Jewish context of that day did not have a lot of space for the resurrection of the dead. There were very few Jewish sects that thought that there might be a resurrection at the end of time. But nobody thought that there would be a single bodily resurrection in the middle of human history. No one thought that the future could break into the present. So the disciples go home, except for Mary. She stays at the tomb, weeping, grief on top of grief. Not only has her Lord been crucified, but now his body has gone missing. And here is where the story begins to pivot. She looks and blinks to make sure she's seeing correctly, and there are two angels sitting where Jesus' body had been. Now, angelic messengers are rare in the biblical witness. God only seems to use them when there is no other way to make things plain. And they exude light. And they ask her, "Why are you weeping?" As if their understanding of reality is in sharp distinction to hers. And she replies with the most immediate surface layer of her grief. "They have taken his body." And right when she says that, she turns around and Jesus is standing in front of her, and she doesn't know who he is. And this is my favorite part. And he says to her with all tenderness, "Mary." He calls her by name. And the light of the whole world dissipates her darkness, and she sees. And the resurrection narrative begins in darkness, in uncertainty, in grief, in hopelessness. But there is one thing that becomes so clear to Mary, and it's the only thing that seems to matter when she recounts this story, and it's this: "I have seen the Lord. I have seen the Lord." Mary Magdalene, the first witness of the risen Lord, announces to the disciples and to us who have gathered here this morning her testimony: "I have seen the Lord." There are four separate accounts of the resurrection of Jesus Christ in the four Gospels. And they're distinct in the details that they record. As one would expect, if something happens and different people see it, they attend to different things. But one of the details that is consistent throughout all of the Gospels is that the first witnesses of the risen Christ were women. There was a philosopher named Celsus who lived about 200 years after Jesus. And Celsus hated Christianity. And one of his major attacks on Christianity was the testimony of Mary, the first disciple to encounter the risen Christ. "Who would believe," and I quote Celsus, "a hysterical female? I have seen the Lord." The fact that women were the first eyewitnesses of the risen Lord is not an insignificant detail. Now, for us in our cultural moment here in the United States and in the West, it's in vogue to listen to women, but at that time, it was the Achilles heel of the Christian witness. During the time of this event, women had very little authority or influence, and a woman's testimony would not even be considered in a court of law. The testimonies of women were at best considered unreliable. If someone was trying to create a clever story to get people to believe something that was not true, they never would have included the testimony of women as the first witnesses. And this morning, we are invited to consider Mary's testimony. "I have seen the Lord." And really, this points to what the resurrection did and is doing. In the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, God turned the whole entire world on its head. And the very people who did not have a voice became the mouthpiece for the risen Christ. The resurrection of Jesus ushers in not just a new religion or a new ethic, but a whole new creation. The resurrection of Jesus is not an odd, strange event in this present world. It is the defining event of a new creation, a new world that God is bringing about in and through Jesus. Today, we recall that God has acted decisively in raising Jesus from the dead. The death and resurrection of Jesus is an objective event that has altered all of human history. It is the beginning of the whole cosmos being set right. That greed and racism and infidelity and violence and retaliation and on and on and on and even death do not have the final word. The cosmic forces of evil that seek to destroy God's creation do not stand a chance against the power of God demonstrated in the resurrection of Jesus. And this is very, very good news. And while the implications of the resurrection of our Lord are cosmic and all-encompassing, it's also very personal. Jesus calls each one of us today by name, like Mary, calls us to follow him, to move towards him into life, to become new creation, so that we, like Mary, might be able to say, I have seen the Lord. I have seen the Lord.